Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Larry Suttle, Associate Minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for Larry's message.
Well, how neat to hear Jeremy's report and get that update. How neat to be up here on Celebration Sunday and to see some guests in the auditorium this morning. John Knox is here from Granbury, Texas, and James Kennard, a former missionary to Russia, is here this morning, he and his family. And it's great to see all of you, and it's fun to be in the pulpit this morning. If you are visiting here and do not know who I am Larry Suttle. I used to be the preacher here, and I want you to know that The pleasure is all mine to be here. I was the last guy standing, I think, to be the replacement this morning on Celebration Sunday. But it's neat to be here. I have inspired many preachers to preach during my 27 years as the preacher here. And so you are privileged to hear me preach today. John is here. He heard I was preaching, and he told his elders that I just must go to Wichita Falls to hear Larry preach. I may be stretching that a little bit, but not much. But I do think that it is safe to say that I inspired John to preach. I inspired Ken Holsberry, who's now the preacher at Edgemere, to preach. I inspired Steve Martin, who's now doing a great work in Springfield, Missouri, to preach the gospel. Maybe others. I don't know about James Kennard or Jeremy. I may have inspired him. I think Andy Johnson, who became one of our great missionaries. I think I inspired him. Inspiration to many, many young men. And I did that. They all looked at me and said, if that guy can do it and get paid, I can. Now, this is a true story. When Andy was a young man, he did ask his dad or mom, does Larry get paid for that? Now, that is a true story, and so I can truthfully say that I am an inspiration to many guys, but it's an honor to be up here this morning. I have asked some guys to pass something out for me this morning, which is going to be a basis or at least a kickoff for my lesson today, which is based on Matthew 10, verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. I would like for every family unit to get one of these. This is something I got off line. It's an insurance document. Pretty interesting stuff. This is inventory that insurance companies provide. For you to go through your property and take inventory so you can properly insure everything you have. So you'll be able to take this document home with you after the service this morning. And you'll say, well, it hadn't been a complete waste of time listening to old Larry today. At least I can insure my property. Now, it's several pages in length. I just ran it off on my printer, just exactly as I got it from an insurance company. I forgot now what insurance company. You can go to most of them. They'll supply it. Front and back, every room in your house. Now, young people, you're free to take one if we have plenty. But since you don't own a home and, you know, I didn't think you'd be interested, but you're welcome to take one. College students, you too. One of these days you'll have all this junk and you'll... But right now you're kind of free of it. Did anyone not get one of these? I want you to have one if you want one. Just raise your hand. And you look at this, and you think of that passage, at least I do, God is the giver of every perfect gift, that great statement in James. And you just look at all of these things in every room in the house. And what thoughts come to your mind? Well, how much stuff we have that you don't even think about, right? How much stuff we have. How much stuff we treasure. And you know, the Lord said, our heart is where our treasure is. That's kind of scary, isn't it? You think about how much stuff we don't need. Look at this list. Don't look at me. Look at this list. I gave you this list. Look at it. Look at the stuff we have and compare it with the rest of the world. Nikki and I were privileged one time to visit a upper middle class family who live in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Owns his own business. They have one car about the size of a Honda Accord. I guess it's probably some European made car. It's an apartment, I would say about 1,000 square feet, two stories, but altogether about 1,000 square feet. No garage. They park out front. Three daughters. It's been several years ago, but I'm sure they're grown now, but three beautiful daughters. The daughter worked downtown Amsterdam. To get to work, you know what she did? She rode her bicycle. Of course, you know, in Amsterdam, a lot of people ride bicycles. So I realize that's probably not the norm, but in all European countries, they don't do that necessarily in Paris, but she rode her bicycle. They would be astounded. Most European people would be astounded at the mansions we live in and think we must have. Three car garages, three bathrooms. Look at the list. Think of the stuff that controls us. In fact, most of us don't have enough room in our mansions. We have to rent storage. I won't embarrass you because I would, up until recently, would embarrass myself by asking how many of you rent a storage facility, because you can't get it all in your house. And you may be paying more than the contents is worth in your storage facility. You look at this list. And on the positive side, you just think, oh my, how much the Lord has given to me. Wow. you think, how much we could give if we only liquidated all of this. I remember one year when we had our mission special, we did liquidate a lot of this stuff. Had a big garage sale and brought it all, piled it all up, liquidated a lot of it. Why, it was a big mission special that year. Because we stopped hoarding a lot of it, brought it to the Lord. Well, why has the Lord given us so much, do you suppose? Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. The context of that statement, that very simple, simple statement that everybody here can have memorized before you leave this auditorium this morning. Jesus is sending out his apostles for the first time. Mark's account says he is sending them out two by two. There's a powerful lesson in this great passage. It's the whole chapter, chapter 10. One of the lessons in this great passage is, and we won't spend much time on that, is that Jesus sends. You know, Jesus didn't just call his apostles together or any of his people together for a discussion class. You know, he didn't have many Bible lessons. Oh, he had lessons, but it was to prepare his people to go. He wasn't much on discussion times. Sure wasn't much on, now what do you think? Just a thought. But the lesson of focus this morning, here we are on Mission Sunday as we prepare for our mission special contribution. Freely you have been given, freely give. Let's apply it to money. You know, it's a crazy thing about Americans. None of us think we are rich. Except Donald Trump. At least he admits he's rich. Hardly anyone else will ever say, I'm rich. Probably even Warren Buffett denies he's rich. But old Donald says, I'm rich. And I'll pay for it myself, thank you. Listen to this. If you want to write this down, you can. If you make 28 cents above the minimum wage, you are in the top 10% of the world's richest people. Isn't that amazing? If your family income is above $50,000, your family combined income, you are in the top 1%. And yet, we feel like we're just getting by, don't we? Just getting by. You look at this inventory list again, at all the stuff you own, all the stuff you've spent money on, all the stuff you've spent money to store or to hoard. Let's use that word. How about it? Jesus told a story one time regarding a rich man. If we define ourselves as rich, as the world would. He told a story in Luke 12, 20 and 21. And he made this statement, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Wow. You talk about a stinging rebuke. What would he say to us in 2015 America? What would he say to us? I tell you what, if we don't downsize, if we don't downsize and give to the Lord, others will downsize for us one of these days and stick it in their pockets. And who knows what they'll do with it. That's what the Bible says. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You better direct your money while you can. Sometimes you hoard it away to give it to your relatives, and sometimes your relatives are the last people in the world who need it or who will use it wisely. You better think about that. But you'll downsize. Oh yeah, you will. And you better downsize while you can control it. Well, as you consider your pledge, as you consider your contribution this morning, don't just shrug it off and make it a matter of routine. Remember these words of Jesus: "Freely you have received, freely give." But there's one other principle I want to apply this statement to this morning. And that's the gospel of grace. Forgiveness. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have committed to Him, if you have obeyed Him, if you've obeyed the gospel, if you are a member of His blood-redeemed, bought church, then you have freely received forgiveness. And as Don said this morning, and as we began our communion together, that's what we do when we take communion. We celebrate that. When we take communion, we don't churn. We don't agonize. We celebrate. When we come to church, to use that expression, we hear preached, we are taught, we sing, we pray, we commune about the idea that our sins have been removed. They have been taken away from us as far as the east is from the west. They have been cast into the depths of the sea. We are forgiven. We don't deserve it. None of us do. That's what Christ did on the cross. Oh, we'll continue to sin. Oh, yeah. That's a given. But even after we continue to sin, the blood of Jesus continues to wash us. That's part of the deal. Now, the church is not a bunch of hypocrites because we continue to sin. We're just imperfect people. But because we are imperfect people, we just must keep on practicing forgiveness with each other. That's what Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You see, thoughtful, intelligent Christians have figured out that no one in their lives has sinned against them as many times as they have sinned against Christ. You see, that's how you keep score. You see, you don't keep score along the lines of, well, they've done me wrong more times than I've done them wrong. No, that's all wrong. The way you keep score is, how many times have I done Christ wrong? And yet, as many times as I've done Christ wrong, He still hasn't exhausted His mercy, His patience, His capacity for forgiveness. So what does that mean? Well, it means that when I am tempted to give up on somebody, which I am from time to time, when I'm tempted not to give them the benefit of the doubt, as I am, you see, from time to time, I have to remember Christ hasn't given up on me. Freely I have been given, freely I give. That's what Christ said. So in our daily lives, I go around then sowing seeds of that forgiveness. I go around sowing seeds of grace everywhere. I go around sowing seeds of kindness. I go around sowing seeds of forgiveness. Why? Because freely we have been given. Freely we give. Why are we here today on Mission Sunday, Celebration Sunday? Why are we focused on missions? Tell me. Freely we have been given. Freely we give. That's why. That's why. Paul said in Romans 1:14, we are obligated. We are obligated. We are indebted. We don't have a choice. Why? Freely we have been given. Freely we give. We don't have a choice. The message of God's saving grace must be shared. It's our responsibility. Nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else in the world is going to do it. Nobody else in the world feels that obligation. Nobody else in the world feels that sense that they have been freely given. Everybody else in the world looks at this list and says, boy, aren't I smart? Everybody else looks at this list and say, man, I've been industrious. Everybody else looks at this list and says, man, look what I've done. But you and I look at that list and say, boy, the Lord's been gracious to me. What's my obligation? Freely I have been given. Freely I give. You know, sometimes we think that the world has just received the gospel, they've just rejected it, And so there's nothing more to do. Let me tell you something. The world has never, most of the world, and I'm talking about people in the United States and Canada, they have never heard the pure, life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. They've heard some perversion of it, but they've never heard the pure gospel. And that's what we're trying to get out. And our challenge is to put it in such a way and present it in such a way that they can say, I've heard it. Now, they may still reject it, but we're still working on presenting it in just its pure form. And if they hear it, we still have faith that there's enough pure souls out there that will accept it. And will carry on the belief, having freely given, they will also freely give. I want to close with this. Jesus sent out his apostles two by two. He sent his followers out as givers because they, like us, need opportunities to be what they were created to be, givers. One of my favorite writers is Eugene Peterson. And in his book, Run with the Horses, Eugene Peterson writes about seeing a family of birds teaching the young to fly. And I want to close with this. Three young swallows were perched on a dead branch that stretched out over a lake. One adult swallow got alongside the chicks and started shoving them out toward the end of the branch, pushing, pushing, pushing. The end one fell off somewhere between the branch and the water, 4 feet below. The wing started working, and the fledgling was off on his own. And then the second one. The third was not to be bullied. At the last possible moment, his grip on the branch loosened just enough so that he swung downward, then tightened again, bulldog tenacious. The parent was without sentiment. He pecked at the desperately clinging talons until it was more painful for the poor chick to hang on than risk the insecurities of flying. The grip was released, and then the inexperienced wings began pumping. The mature swallow knew what the chick did not, that it would fly, that there was no danger in making it do what it was perfectly designed to do. Birds have feet and can walk. Birds have talons and can grasp a branch securely. They can walk. They can cling, but flying is their characteristic action. And not until they fly are they living at their best, gracefully and beautifully. Peterson concludes this: giving is what we do best. It is the air into which we were born. It is the action that was designed into us before our birth. Some of us tried desperately to hold on to ourselves, to live for ourselves. We look so bedraggled and pathetic doing it, hanging on to the dead branch of a bank account for dear life, afraid to risk ourselves on the untried wings of giving. We don't think we can live generously because we have never tried. But the sooner we start, the better, for we are going to give up our lives finally. And the longer we wait, the less time we have for the soaring and swooping life of grace.